Northwest. We hope that you will attend this important meeting to discuss WPFW's relocation plans, as well as other important issues facing the station. Healthy refreshments will be served. We hope to see you there.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What? Come on, get that.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. Crossroads is heard around the world. We come to you every Tuesday at the same time. And we always bring you stories and shows that you can share, information that you can use. We open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Hey. Inmates at Virginia State Prison called Red Onion set themselves on fire. Across the country, progressively minded individuals have struggled to hold on to hope following the re-election of Donald Trump. In the wake of last week's election, although Americans may be deeply opposed to most national policies in the coming years, there's still much hope for change on the state and local levels where most people in the country are incarcerated. This presents a unique opportunity to refocus the fight against solitary confinement and rally support throughout communities. At Red Onion State Prison in Virginia, two men lit themselves on fire in the prison solitary confinement union, demanding an end to the unbearable isolation, racism, and brutality. Red Onion is a prison that a lot of D.C. prisoners, when they had the D.C. Revitalization Act, they were transferred them to Red Onion. Red Onion is one of the most meanest, racist, isolated, segregated institutions in the country. The correctional staff is 95% white, rural folk from that county, and you have 5% of black staff. And they also have set 25 dogs in this prison to attack men while they're in cells. And there's been suits about men being bitten, attacked, and mauled by the dogs in Red Onion. This is a situation where men have set themselves on fire inside the institution to protest the brutality and the treatment they're receiving inside of Red Onion. So stay tuned. We'll keep you apprised of what's going on in Red Onion. How Mississippi's Supreme Court runoff election could impact criminal cases. After the surprise defeat of one justice, the outcome of the November 26 runoff between another justice and his challenger could change the court's outlook. Mississippi voters have dealt defeat to one conservative state Supreme Court justice and forced a moderate justice into a November 6 runoff, with the final outcome possibly making the court more open to considering the rights of criminal defendants. The 9-member court is largely conservative, but justices have recently split in high-profile decisions that sharply affected state politics, including a ruling that shut down citizens-led ballot initiatives in Mississippi and allowed some state control over local criminal cases in this majority black capital. The court has also rendered rulings that have made the state increasingly unfavorable to defendants appealing their cases. The high-tech tools police can use to surveil protesters. When Americans take to the streets to make their voices heard, they're inevitably dragging their digital trails right along behind them. Anonymity is a shield from the tyranny of the majority, wrote Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens in 95 ruling affirming America's constitutional right to engage in anonymous political speech. That shield has weakened in recent years due to advances in the surveillance technology available to law enforcement. What used to be a manual process is becoming increasingly automated, making mass demonization of protesters, even those taking active steps to hide their identities, possibilities. Controversies about facial recognition and masking may dominate the news, but they are a plethora of surveillance methods that law enforcement can deploy to gain insight into people's identities, communications, and purchases. Almost everyone in modern life, and that includes protesters, continuously oozing data that reveals sensitive aspects of their lives. Everything from social media posts to media data about phone calls to the purchase information collected by data brokers to location data showing every step taken is available to law enforcement, all without a warrant. They don't need a warrant to track you now. Every year, millions of Americans face severe consequences, including arrests, incarceration, fines, fees, driver's license suspension, simply for missing a court date. And if you miss a court date, the penalties or punishment are astronomical. In courts and practitioners commonly call this failure to appear, but this term can be misleading. In the vast majority of cases, people miss courts for reasons that should be understandable. There are logistical challenges like not being able to miss work, lacking transportation to court, or not having child care. People may not have recent or updated information about when or where to appear in court. Some may not even know that they had a mandatory court date in the first place. In practice, missing court is often not a deliberate failure or deliberate choice. It's because people are struggling with various other pressures. Regardless of the reasons people miss court, the United States criminal legal system is often unforgiving. 48 states and Washington, D.C. can impose additional criminal penalties, including fines and imprisonment for missing a court date, while 39 states plus D.C. may consider a person's intention in missing court to some degree. So, folks, stay on top of your court appearance. And at least 77 million U.S. adults have criminal records. I repeat, 77 million U.S. adults have criminal records, including 7 million currently in prison or jail or on probation or parole. Typically, more than 10,000 of the incarcerated leave prisons and nearly 200,000 churn through the jails every week. That is some interesting figures. And also in D.C., the estimated number of returning citizens in Washington, D.C. is over 65,000 to 70,000. In PG County, the number is over 50,000. And now because of the election and what happened, returning citizens have an active role to play. And our guest this morning will knock your boots off. Don't never let me hear you say you can't or this is not applicable, I can't apply. We got somebody who refute all that. You can come from the bottom and get to the top. And our name our show this morning is Overcoming Odds. And we got a gentleman here who's overcoming and still overdoing it. And our guest is this morning is PG County Council Member Calvin S. Hawkins II. And good morning, Calvin, and thank you for joining us. And thank you. This is a special time because my wife and I, we moved here 16 years ago in PG County. We live down in Camp Springs, and we've been here for a minute. but I wanted to bring you on because of the election with Trump and what's facing us in this country and all his stands on criminal justice. And he's talking about getting revenge on folk who he disagreed with, et cetera. But put that over to the side. We're talking about a young man who'd been down, been out, been incarcerated, and is an epitome of the Second Chance Act. Somebody who got a second chance and took that second chance and made it a first chance for a whole lot of other people. So our guest this morning, we are talking about the returning citizens population, the community in PG County. But before I get to that, I just want to share something with you. This is from Calvin in an article. It's a magazine called The Return. It's the first time I saw it and heard of it. It's a magazine for returning citizens by returning citizens, and the quality and the The information in it is unbelievable. And in this article, you said, my life is a testament of believing that you can overcome the challenges that brought you down. So when people see me, they know I'm a second chance kind of guy. I'm not different than anyone else. It's just that I chose each day to do something to make a positive difference in our community, to redirect the negatives of the past. That's Councilman. Man, I like what you said. You made my hair grow when you made that statement, man. How did you overcome what you overcome? You got elected to the city council in PG County. And you and I are fraternities from Lawton, UDC, the University, the Department of Corrections.
Yes, that is it.
And you took it to another whole level. And we, a lot of folks, even in this last election with Trump, they would tell us, I don't want to vote for Trump. He don't mean nothing to me. What are you going to do for me? I'm returning citizens. All laws start with the legislation. The laws that lock you up, keep you locked up, and release you. It's legislated by people in the council. And we got somebody who make the laws, who've been a recipient of some of these unfair and unjust laws. He's now in a position to do something. And I take my hat off to you because you have a return to citizens
on your staff.
Yes.
And you want to explain what that's about, how you was able to overcome the pushback that you got. Then you reached out and brought another guy in on your staff.
Roach, it really started back in Lawton. Men that you know that never will see this side of freedom again. And whether it's double, triple, life sentences, 70 years to 210 years, whatever it is. It was young, with older guys in there that took time to talk to me. They saw some potential in me while I was yet behind the Lawton walls and spoke to me about the importance of when I get that second chance, do something with my life. And I've tried through my example as a returning citizen, ex-offender, someone that got a second chance, I've opened the door up for others to come on this journey with me because I didn't get here by myself. And as a consequence of that, I'm always fighting to give opportunities to individuals who have been on the other side of justice, who've getting their lives together and need a chance, whether it's housing, whether it's employment, whatever it may be. We have to make certain that those issues are at the forefront of our local discussions.
And I appreciate that, and you're doing that. You had Sidney Davis working with you. Now you got Eddie Mathis. And I know that you've gotten some pushback for being with who you are. And you not only said what you just said, you reached out and you got Eddie Mathis. You got a returning citizen on your staff. You've been working with returning citizens' efforts in terms of reentry, housing, employment, jobs, but overall trying to make the community safe. I've attended 3-4 meetings with you, Chiron Park, and some more people in your staff to see what we can do. And to have a council member who's that actively involved, we arrange a meeting and you attend. You're there. You don't leave meetings to your staff. And to have somebody who is committed that deeply to make sure that we can provide housing, employment for our returning citizens and mental health issues. Calvin, there's an issue right now where men are coming out after 30, 40, 50 years, and they come out to a world that they don't know and they're lost. They don't know how to cross the street. I gave a guy a $100 bill, and he hadn't seen money in 50 years.
Wow.
He took that $100 bill and rubbed it all on his neck, his face, he smelled it. Mm-hmm. He went into the store and the lady told him, we don't accept cash. He didn't know what to do. It blew his mind. If they don't accept cash and he hadn't seen money in 50 years, and they gave him a $100 bill. And the store clerk said, we don't take cash. So this is what these guys are running into. They don't know how to cross the street, ride an escalator, go to the restroom. Mm-hmm. So we got a program we've been talking about called Offender Anonymous, similar to AA and NA. I'm married to my wife, and would you believe we've been married over 16, 18 years. And to this day, every night she got to tell me to get in the bed. Mm-hmm. I sleeps on the edge of the bed. and I ain't got no room to turn but to fall. Mm-hmm. And she grabs me and said, come on over here. Why you got to go? That came from jail. Some habits are hard to break, man. I sleep on the edge of the bed because I'm ready to run. Because mm-hmm. in the joint, in the feds, when they call at 12, 1 o'clock at night, you got to get out your bed with whatever, naked or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I stay ready. And in my head, I'm still staying ready. Mm-hmm. So with you, Eddie Mathis, Dexter Forbes, and the brothers you got working with you over there, man, we need people like you who've had a second chance, who know what it's about. What would you say to those people who are listening in these cells all over the country, around the world, who are doing time and they're getting ready to come out? What would you say to them?
I would say to not just the brothers, to the sisters yes. as well. We are out here fighting for opportunities so that when you arrive on this side, you leave those dismal crypts, you have an opportunity to come out. Like you spoke about men and women who have been away so long that this new economy, when they arrive, they're like, what? Yeah, money, even something as simple as riding a metro, they are lost. But what we're putting in place is opportunities to connect them with our young people. So from their experiences, if they're the pure and righteous ones who are going to continue to make this new situation work, help our young brothers and sisters who, Roach, may not listen to you and I, even though we've been on that other side. But these are men and women who are just coming home. They can tell them what it's like to sleep in prison. Like you said, I've been married for 26 years. And my wife often grabbed me because I'm on the end of the bed. You know, I hear something even now. I've been home since 1989. I can hear something now, and I jump because that's how we were trained. Those days when we talk about veterans and their trauma, we have trauma too because we had to be men among men in a very dangerous, volatile environment. But getting back to your question, we need to help them understand that when they come here, we're preparing for them. But we don't, like, I need to talk to you after this about your program because we don't need to catch them when they arrive. We need to catch them when they're transitioning from all that time to the community, to a halfway house, to here. You know, so the number of incarcerants we have that are now on the street in Prince George's County, there's over 60,000 of them.
Over 60,000.
And we need to reach them and keep working with them and their families, because before I arrive, the facts speak for themselves. Before I arrive as a council member, the discussion about returning citizens and what we should be doing with them, that was a discussion people were having. It was taboo.
Yes, it was.
And I took the responsibility of saying, hey, I can't now enjoy the benefits of what I'm going through in this democracy and forget about the brothers and sisters who are coming after me. We need to build that bridge. And that's what I'm about, doing what I need to do for seniors, veterans, women, and our young people, but not forgetting about the importance of what's going on with our returning citizens. Because either they're going to make it out here and become productive, or they're going to be a part of the problem. And we don't want them to be a part of the problem. We want them to be a part of the solution right here in Prince George's County. I follow the Marion Barry philosophy when it comes to returning citizens. I know what they did to help him, and I know what he did to help them. We can do that same thing here in Prince George's County and let them know they're part of our community, and we want them to be a part of the solutions that we are responding to when it comes to crime and other challenges in our county.
You know, you mentioned something about the servicemen when they got PTSD and the government recognized it after 18 months or 2 years in on the front line in the war. These men and women need social, mental, and psychological services after 18 months or 2 years. What about somebody who's been incarcerated 50 years, 30 years? They can't adjust. I put a guy on the bus. And he said he wanted to ride the Metro bus after 40 years. He got on the bus and he asked the driver for a transfer. And the bus driver started laughing. Said, transfer? We ain't getting our transfer in 30 years. Where you been? And the guy felt offended and withdrawn. He walked in the back. So I'm sitting on the bus with him. Two young girls over there cursing.
raising hell on the bus. Mm-hmm. He said to me, I said, man, leave him alone. This ain't, leave them young girls. He said, man, but somebody ought to talk to him. Mm-hmm. He walked over to these two young girls and said, y'all need to tone down. Don't talk like it. Don't be disrespectful. They cursed him out, gal, and threw him off the bus. Mm-hmm. He did 50 years in prison, some of the most dangerous prisons in the country. Mm-hmm. He come out and get ripped up by two young girls and thrown off of the bus. Mm-hmm. This is just so many incidents. Anything you can come up with, our folk are going through these kind of problems. We're joined, Calvin, by our co-host, Nikechi Taifa. Good morning, Nikechi.
Good morning, Roach and Martine, and good morning, Councilmember Hawkins. How is everyone today?
Good morning.
It's always really glad to hear a focus on issues dealing with reentry. And, you know, Roach, always when I listen to you about the stories of folk who are coming home and they don't know the basic necessities that they need to know or what's been happening in the decades within which they were, you know, locked down, is really good for the programs that council member is doing and initiating to assure that that doesn't happen. I just want to say, if I can, that former member of the Black Panther Party, Veronica Bowers, who spent over 50 years in prison, came out earlier this spring. We'll be in the DMV, DC area this weekend. There's going to be a welcome home of Veronica after 50 years of imprisonment on Sunday. And if anyone, listening audience, is interested in that, they can contact me for the information. I don't want to give out exactly where it is since it's not in a public place over the lines. But those who are interested in former member of the Black Panther Party, finally, you know, coming home or coming out of a prison, can contact me, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Or maybe they can contact the station and the station can let me know. I can give them the information. So how can they contact the station, Roach?
202-588-0893. You know, we went to a program Saturday, Coal Masters Burr, the First Lady, Myron Burr's wife and widow, had an unveiling Saturday of a big mural of Myron Burr's life and government and etc. And it was well attended. It was beautiful. And it was cold as hell outside. But I just want to say that mural was well attended. A lot of folks like it, admired, respected. We suggested that she should be able to make copies that folks can purchase a copy or a replica of this mural. But also, it touched me in a way that I worked with Myron and he had some people from the Civil Rights Movement, the Latin Assistants, Elijah Rogers, Michael Rogers, folk who worked on Myron's cabinet. And to see these people 10 years later still coming back, giving homage to Myron Burr and what he did. And one of the things I wanted to suggest is that we need a Myron Burr Museum as well as a house, a respite house for senior citizens or returning citizens. The only person that can pull this off is Miss Barry. She has the tenacity and the gumption to pull this off. But we need a Myron Burr Museum in this city, as well as the other thing we just talked about, a house, a Myron Burr house. We found a house, but it's not in 1/8. So people, Myron worked for the little people, and at the unveiling Saturday at the Myron Burr building at 4414 4th Street. When I walked into that little crowd, it brought tears to my eyes because I was in the office with Myron on the 11th floor down the hall, and I haven't been back in there since he died. And to walk in that building and see his picture busting the lobby and seeing this man, and sure, he'd done some things that folks didn't like or didn't approve of. We all have. Ain't nobody perfect. But Myron was his own worst enemy. He hurt himself more than he hurt anybody else. And that man stood by me and beside me when the whole city turned against me. The media had me in the paper, and Myron said, "You, my friend." That meant more to me than getting paroled. When you've been whipped, dulled, mistreated, and abused, and somebody said, hey, I'm with you. I got your back. So I love him till whenever. So I just want to suggest that if you're listening, share this information with Ramon and Cordy. We need a Marinberry house as well as, what's the other thing I just said?
A respite house.
Right.
And a museum.
Right. See how I'm getting forgetful?
Yes.
I've been taking that Prevagent, man. And and I thought it's working. I took Prevagent for 2 weeks to improve my memory. The second week, I forgot where in the hell I put it. So I'm having trouble just remembering stuff. But I just want to say, how did you deal with the pushback? When these guys listening to us right now in their sales and they say, I'm coming out, I want to do this, I want to do that. But you know, people's going to block you, going to stop you. They did that to you. What did you do to overcome that pushback when you know that you need to be here, you got something to contribute, but the folk you're talking to just don't understand and can't relate to you? What do you do?
Well, first you have to ensure that you're committed to the road you're going to travel. Each day, I'm an elected official. I've served as chair of the Prince George's County Council for 2 consecutive years. The year before that, I was the vice chair.
Yeah.
But even now, people look at me, oh, that's an ex-con. That guy's been in prison. They whisper. But for me, having the right people around you and understanding, and this is what you need and your listening audience and those who are somewhere in a cell, somewhere in one of these prisons need to understand. I wake up every morning, knowing that there's a brother or sister still incarcerated. And if Calvin Hawkins doesn't set the positive footsteps and continue to do the right thing, stay above the laws, stay above any investigations, I'm opening up the door for them to get a chance. I'm leaving footprints in the sand. Marion Barry was a great mayor, great servant, great public leader. You spoke about the Landers sisters. When I read Cleveland Sellers' River of No Return, he talked about all of them in the SNCC the Landers, movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Landers and the SNCC movement and Joyce and all of them. Yeah. But I say that to you to say, Marion lived with the responsibility that if he wasn't at the table, his people wouldn't get in the room.
Yeah.
So for me, Roach, I work every day knowing that I have to fight to stay at the table so that those who have journeyed the journey I journey and those who are coming through that storm will have an opportunity to say, here's someone like me. Here's someone that understands my changes and challenges and someone that will open a door to help me when I get to that point where I can't see light of day. So all I'm saying to you is, and to all your listeners, you got to move one step at a time, but never give up. Whatever your faith, whoever is your internal connection, don't ever give up on that internal connection and the faith that you have a right. We got a president of our United States, president-elect. When you think about everything he's done, who then should judge who we are as we move through this county, through this community, and through this world we call the earth?
You know, that's amazing. I mean, we're talking about how the pushback that we get when you've been inside and been incarcerated, and here's the president-elect of the United States, been convicted of 34 felonies. I had 3 felonies, and I couldn't get a pardon.
Mm-hmm.
He got 34 and he can run for president.
That's
and
it.
We see how the laws change. And that goes back to what a guy told me in Lord a long time ago. The world is ruled, operates on the golden rule. Mm-hmm. Who has the gold makes the rules. And that's what we're seeing now. In the Supreme Court, it hurts, man. When I got confirmed with a life sentence, and my only hope is to go to Supreme Court. When you hear the name Supreme Court, you think that what you got coming, you can get it. You're entitled to it. They're fair and they're right. When you find out that the Supreme Court is just as crooked and full of juggy boogie as everybody else, where do you turn? There's nothing that you can turn to. Everybody's doing what the Bible says, to treat your brother as you want to be treated. and to be fed. And I don't understand how you can get a law, and the law said you should be released, but because of the judge's political affiliation, conservative or Democrat, you won't get the law. I thought the law was supposed to have been unbiased, be straight. It applies to everybody. So these kind of problems, we've been trying to let folks know, returning citizens, they don't want to participate. I don't care about the vote, but you're locked up because of the law. You're sent to prison because of the law. You're staying there because of the law. You get released. And these laws come from guys like you on the legislature to make these decisions. Mm-hmm. So this is what we've been dealing with for the past 30 years, educating our population and how laws originate, where they come from, and what they can be done to change your situation. And to see somebody change these laws, I am really impressed. When you got Eddie Mathis on your staff,
Eddie was in prison.
Dexter Forbes. You have these guys around you, man, and you don't make any difference. You don't care. They are committed. Their heart's in the right place. Some people you can see, and right away you know, I don't want to mess with them. There's something about their vibe. But the vibe from you and your folk makes you want to say, what can I do to help? And you got my support. Because, man, we are fraternity brothers. You know, and fraternity was got to stay in contact with each other. Mert, that's my wife, in case y'all don't know it. I keep her with me all the time. I don't do nothing without her. Go ahead, baby. Is there something you want to say?
Well, I know we need to take a station ID break about now.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice, 89.3 FM. This is information you won't receive anywhere else. We need you to stay focused.
Calvin, what would you say to those people listening who still in prison, or people walking the street? They don't know what to do, where to go, or where to turn. What would you say to them folk who are just lost, homeless, and hopeless, and they walk the street? And in PG County, this number has been skyrocketing. We got a crisis in PG County. There's no home. There's no job. We got a guy a job, and he said, my take-home pay won't take me home. So what do you do if you work all week and we got no money? And they talked about the fares. They're jumping the fares. I'm just jumping around on a couple of these topics because next week we have the chief of police coming in as our guest, Pam Smith from D.C. And we're going to talk about some of the things that's going on impacting it. But you got people in your community, Calvin, who can stop some of the carjacking, these robberies and killings. You got guys who did 30, 40, 50 years living in PG County right now who can go in some of the most dangerous communities because they got the reputation and the credibility to do something about it. And we need to use these people. We call it, we got the horses, but we don't have the resources. Mm-hmm. And you got people who's willing to risk their life to save life. At our age, in this stage of the game, Calvin, I don't want nothing but to make sure that it's safe, that everybody can come out their house and go wherever they want to go without being arrested or hurt or robbed. What would you say to that?
And that's why I said earlier when we were talking about having these returning citizens that you reference have an opportunity to work directly with our young people because the young people respect them. And that's just one step to dealing with the carjacking, but the homelessness and some of the other issues, we are now coming together with programs to really not just have them available, we're getting ready to go out in the communities because it's really about mental health. And we identified a lot of the people you've talked about, where they are in our communities, whether they're homeless or whether they just off track, can't get on track because they don't have a job. So we're going after them in the next 4 months because of these winter months and really start working with them because after COVID-19, we all learned the significance of mental health. Yes. And if a person don't have anywhere to live, if a person doesn't have a job, they're going to rely and they're going to rely on what they know best. They're going to rely on what they know, and we don't want that. We want to be able, and that's why I applaud, if I may, our Senator-elect Angela Alsobrooks, who is as county executive, put some innovative programs in, not just to deal with our returning citizens, to help our veterans as well. She got a guy named Dr. James Dula, who leads the veterans, the Office of Veterans Affairs in Prince George's County. And he's not just dealing with the veterans that show up. He and his team, as small as they are going into these communities where veterans may be homeless, helping them because they fought for us. And that goes back to the men and women who are incarcerated. How do we help them? Most of them, you know this, are fathers. We need them involved. We don't need them engaged in any thought pattern that says our government and our community have given up on them. So that's how we're working. We're going to find them. And if you can help with some identification, we will.
You got my support, man. You always had it. One of the things that we've been pushing, we can create 5,000 jobs in PG County. We got a program to create 5,000 jobs. We just got to get the folks with the resources. You got enough millionaires and billionaires in America now who are Black. And we need to come together. We've been meeting every week at Ben's Chili Bowl with Kamal Ali, Kenny Barnes, and it's called All Hands on Deck. And these are guys that's been in the city. They're concerned about the safety of the city, making the city safe all of it. And they got the contacts and the resources. And we got an army that we have in you. You got over 60,000 in PG County. There was 60,000 or 70,000 in DC. There's another crisis that we did a few weeks ago. Suicide. Black suicide is on the increase, and the drug overdose. We came up with another word, Cal, called prison side. There's homicide, suicide, and genocide. Now there's prison side, and we tie that to that PTSD piece, that you get men who did 30, 40, 50 years, and they come out, it's like take them and leave them on the moon. They don't know nobody. They don't know where to go. They can't access no resources. And then the twilight of their life, and they're getting ready to die. And when they die, they can't even afford to pay for the funeral. They've been gone 40, 50 years. Nobody maintained an insurance policy for 30, 40, 50 years. So our men are dying. They're committing suicide. They're returning back to prison because they need guys like you to give hope. When they see that you're there and you were in the same position they was, and you made it. And they said, if Calvin can do it, if Eddie Mathis and Dexter and them guys can do it, I can do it. And you are on the shouting sound. Somebody just called me?
Yeah, no, that's me. I just want to add something in there with all the different sides that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Sides, the gym. I'm going to say family side because we talk about men, but there's women as well. There's women who are locked up and incarcerated during their prime childbearing years. And then when they're finally released, they're not able to, they're past those years, okay?
Right.
And so that is a huge issue that often is not giving much attention to. So maybe family side or something like that.
Yes, you can put it there. Yes.
You're correct, including women, like you say, who are in their childbearing years. And we also want to give the telephone number. Someone wants to call in, 202-588-0893. That number again is 202-588-0893.
Also, we want to talk about the Black Coalition. What is the Black Coalition, Calvin?
The Black Umbrella Coalition, Black Family Coalition is the umbrella of organizations, returning citizens who have different organizations coming together, putting their collective ideas and thoughts and resources together to work with the various components in our community to help, especially those coming home, to get acclimated and in a position where they're not just returning citizens, they have employment, they have housing, and reuniting them with their families while providing what has been lacking thus far here too. Four is the mental health component of it. Because like you said, you've been through all that. You've been on your square 24/7. You know, you in a posture where You ready to move, someone moving on you. So now you're in a family environment. You got that young teenager or even younger kid or even an older kid that's happened to be your son or daughter saying, talking to you in a way that you didn't allow that to happen in prison.
Right.
So having those kind of real conversations about how you address that so you don't end back up in prison. So I think that's the coalition's strength. They're really out doing stuff from working with our homeless, helping our seniors with some of their issues. They're doing some very positive things. I wanted to say something when you asked that about one young man, Anthony Wilson. They call him Wolf. He's from the Maryland system. We call him the Thurgood Marshall of Maryland because of the work he's doing in prisons, helping people with their cases. But I went yesterday to Laurel. He had a program where he was talking to kids. It's the first time we've done that, teaching young kids before they even graduate from school, start building their self-esteem, working with them on financial issues, working with them on peer pressure. And I went there and saw that guy doing that. No money from anyone. The money's coming from his own pockets. And then I'm thinking they all Prince George's. He had two young men from Calverton County down in Huntington. The grandmother would bring them. He would go pick them up from Huntington and take them all the way to Laurel because the grandmother can't see out of one of her eyes.
Wow.
And, you know, the mother's out there in that life. But this man is doing that kind of stuff. So I bring that up to say returning guys who have been on the other side are doing some great things, like you and your wife, y'all helping, but these are individuals, whether they're part of the coalition or not, they are trying to impact our community in a way that we can start seeing positive steps in the right direction in dealing with the handgun violence, all of the carjacking and all of that.
Mm-hmm. We got one phone call on. We'll take our first caller. You're on the air. Question or comment for the council member, please.
Roach, let me turn down my phone. This is Rick calling from Germany.
Well, thank you, Rick.
I just want to ask Mr. Hawkins if he has a relationship with the governor of Maryland.
I do.
And?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mr.
Go ahead.
Hawkins.
You said he do. Well, go ahead.
I think that it's not only winter in America, but it's below sub freezing. I'm looking beyond Donald Trump. I'm looking at the next 20 years there in America, and I think Maryland can be an example of how to treat returning citizens, not just D.C., but the state of Maryland. I'm done, folks.
Okay.
Well, like Nikichi said, children, we are locking up mothers and fathers who are leaving children 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. That has got to change.
I was going to say, your comment about Governor Wes Moore, in my humble opinion, he has demonstrated his commitment to advancing the challenges we face. This man came in and he pardoned every conviction for marijuana possession, marijuana use.
Yeah.
And I asked him one day, I was a governor, that's a bold move. Well, if you have that on your record, how do you get a job? That's preventing
right.
you. That's the step one in preventing you. We made it legal. So if it's legal, then why should these men and women still have it on their record? I thought that was very significant, but also very progressive. And the young lady that he's appointed over his public safety agencies. And this lady has a track record of being progressive and dealing with issues in our state prisons and our correctional facilities. So he's doing some great stuff in that regard. And as someone who's been on the other side, I publicly applaud him for those initiatives. They were bold and courageous.
I like that. In fact, I was going to suggest to throw this up. They just brought the two turkeys in for the President of the United States Department. And every year, they pardon two turkeys. And would you believe before they get their pardon on Thanksgiving Day, they stay at the Willard Hotel in this private suite. The suite costs hundreds of dollars a night for two turkeys. What about pardoning our people? I got my
commentation. He needs to pardon everybody currently on death row. There's a
Say that again, Nikisha.
Right now for the pardon. Clemency for everyone who is currently on death row. This is something Biden can do right here, right now, and absolutely must do because we don't know what the situation is going to be after January 20th with respect to those who are currently on death row. So, Gordon Broach, I didn't mean to interrupt,
you know, to
but
that,
I just wanted
to add to that, Trump pardoned 125 people in the last 30 days that Trump was in the White House, 132-35. He pardoned over 240 prisoners during his term as president. So he's talked about increasing the prison population in terms of the two biggest winners of Trump's election is GEO Prison Group and Court Civic. Because Trump talked about building or deporting 1,000 or a million of migrants, they need to be detained and be in the facility before you transfer them out of the country. So this company, Core Civic and the GEO stock went up 29% and 46% the day after Trump's election because they know they're going to need to have more detention facilities. So this thing is an economic situation for folk. And what my wife just said, I like to suggest, Calvin, that even kids go to school. Damn, they taught me Latin. I don't need Latin. I need to know how to deal with a girl. This should be boyfriend and girlfriend classes in school. Because these kids get to fighting and killing each other and mad, whatever. They don't know how to deal with their emotions. They don't know how to communicate or solve their problems. The things that these kids need, they don't need to be punished and locked up. We know kids are immature and they're around bunches. But I like to think, because they taught me Latin. Man, I ain't used Latin in 70 years. I don't know what they're like. They taught me that. But it should be courses in there, anger management in the schools. When these kids get mad, what they can do to unload and get that frustration off. And it should be something in there for families, for your boys and little girls. If you got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, how do you relate? How do you talk to them? It's on-the-job training. Everybody get a girlfriend, and it's on-the-job training, and you do whatever you want, however you want. They don't even understand the ramifications of a relationship, how you talk to somebody, how you treat somebody. That would help to reduce some of this, because a lot of our kids just make up things on the spot and they do it spontaneously.
They're just giving their bodies. They don't know what else to give.
Yeah, I agree with everything you all said, but may I go back? May I ask Nikisha a question?
Yeah.
Hey, Nikisha, I'm just curious. You said that Biden should pardon every person on death row. I'm just curious to hear your rationale for that. I'm just curious.
For those who don't believe in the death penalty, that's really imperative. Now, you could say, I mean, I know what you're getting at, my dear brother. You know, what about the, I'm not even going to mention names of folk who went into that church in South Carolina and murdered all those Black parishioners. I'm not even going to mention that. But it's in this society, it's difficult to say, to cherry pick, to clemency some and don't clemency others. So the narrative is just clear death row. People still have a life sentence and whatever they go through the legal processes of that. But if there's not going to be an opportunity for those who are wrongfully convicted and have been sentenced to death row, which we know are disproportionately Black, Trump is already trumpeted what he wants to do with people on death row. So I hear you.
No, I was just asking the question. It wasn't nothing. You answered it very well. And thank you very much.
Okay.
You're giving me ammunition.
We got like 3-4 minutes. And before we get out of here, I want to throw the mic over to my good buddy, Councilman Hawkins, to give some closing comments and hopefully some inspiration of what folks can do who are listening to the show, who can follow what you follow, because you're blazing a trail that's still wide open, man, and you're making all kinds of news and history. And I want to make sure that these men and women who listen to what you got to say will get it firsthand from the lion's mouth.
Thank you for this opportunity to have some closing remarks. To your listening audience, I would say to each of you and encourage each of you to keep up with Calvin Hawkins. I'm on calvinhawkins.com. Learn what we're doing. Learn how you can be involved. It's not so much about me. It's about the people's movement. Having spent 5 years and 9 months of my life in prison, I have come home to do one thing and one thing only, to make the world better than I found it. I've done the destructive stuff for a period in my life, but I need each of you to come work with me. We can transform Prince George's County. Prince George's County, her better days are still ahead, and with your support, we can get there. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters who are on the other side, don't you give up hope. You keep fighting, because today it seems like that moment is dark. But if you keep fighting, that moment gonna come when the daylight breaks and you'll be right back here with us. The brother that did 60 something years that we were with this past summer, he never thought he would see the daylight again, but he never gave up. What's the brother name? He's out here. Those are the kind of people who inspire me. Yeah. And if I can leave you with anything, you are the dream makers and your day will come when you have an opportunity to be where I am, and I'll have an opportunity to see you, and we can work together. To those families, go to calvinhawkins.com. I need you.
Yes. Go ahead, White.
I would just like to remind everyone who wants to join Nkechi at Sunday's meet and greet with former political prisoner Veronica Bowers. Please call the station 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Leave your name and number, and the Nkechi will call you back.
Okay, so our show has been dealing with overcoming odds, and we have a gentleman here who overcame odds and still overcoming odds, and you can use him as an example to pattern your life behind. Hey, you ain't got to like me, you ain't got to like Calvin. We're talking about people who are hurt and who are helping to make things better for those less fortunate than I. And this is what this is about. And you need to jump up, step up to the table, and remember, this is only the beginning. We're playing a song at the end called
Ain't No Stopping Us Now
by McFadden and Whitehead. So this is what we're talking about. Ain't no stopping us. We can do it. They got a brother right now who is a Speaker of the House in the Virginia State Legislature. We got returning citizens all over the country. The guy in the Central Park Five,
yep,
who got exonerated, he ran for city council. So we got quite a few people with criminal records, their second chances, who are holding elected offices, yep, all over this country. People, you can do it. It can be done. It's when your heart is hit.
But you mustn't quit.
It doesn't quit. Everybody you know, when you tell you their story, they was getting ready to throw in the towel when they lost it all. But the sun always shines. Just hold on. Don't give up. And when they hit you the hardest, just bite your tongue. Hold your head up and say, I'm going to make it. The sun will shine in them. And folk, you can do it. We got a shining example right here beside us, Calvin Hawkins. I want to thank all of y'all for listening to the show. And thank our buddy Rick from Germany. Boy, you call every week, you German rascal, you. Thank you for calling in. We'll see you next week. And next week, our show is at Vince Chili Bowl with the Chief of Police, Ms. Pamela Smith. Stay tuned. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas. That's him.
Mm-hmm.
And happy Groundhog Day, Turkey. Thanks, Cal.
Never there ain't no stopping us now.
Hey, play the
ain't no stopping us.
so many things that's held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our show together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our show together, gonna polish up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
A better future has been built by all of us right now, and the billions of small actions we take each day, acts of courage, equity, care, love, and tolerance, are all threads in the beautiful tapestry of the world we want to inhabit. Beginning on Giving Tuesday, December 3rd through the 31st, we ask you to embrace a radical generosity and donate to WPFW. A medium that has contributed so much to improve the life of so many through our music and message program. Donations can be made anytime at wpfwfm.org. Your end-of-year gift is essential to WPFW's ability to continue to build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Each year, WPFW stands in solidarity with our Indigenous family on the fourth Thursday of November in commemoration of the National Day of Mourning, as well as celebrates the gratitude and harvest inherent in the season. Thursday, November 28th, from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m., we center Indigenous American voices in programming, including a live broadcast from Plymouth Rock of the annual rally and march by the United American Indians of New England. Then, from 2 until 7 p.m., we present music imbued with gratitude and in recognition of this time of harvest. That's Thursday, 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. on WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
WPFW Local Station Board is hosting a town hall meeting on Saturday, December 7th at New Bethany Baptist Church, 1300 10th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., from noon to 2:30 p.m. Plenty of off-street parking is available. as this will be our last town hall while at our present location, 1990